Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Good evening again, and welcome into the house of the Lord tonight. God has got some good stuff for us tonight. We're going to continue on our study of Moses, which I titled with the unusual title, Holy Moses. So it's a good study, and we are into week four of Holy Moses. And anytime we're studying about somebody in the Bible, one of the Bible characters, we're studying for the purpose of learning how to apply the life lessons that we learn from them. Either don't do this or you should do this. And so I like to review just a little bit. So last week we talked about how God spoke to Moses from a burning bush, and he knew it was God. If he didn't know it was God, he does now, because God completely identified himself in Exodus 3:6 by saying, I'm the God of your father. I'm the God your daddy served. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And Moses was afraid to look upon God, but he knew that it was definitely God. And I find it interesting that he knew it was God, and still he had some excuses and some things in retort to what God was going to ask of him. And so I mentioned also that because he's seeing this spirit in a burning bush, that anytime in the Bible, and you've heard me say this, but I want to repeat it over and over again. I really do, because so many people talk to me about angels. I'm asking God to send me an angel, I'm asking angels to come to my aid. And I always want to tell you that in the Bible, anytime where you read the words an angel of the Lord, that means a created being. That means either a messenger angel, a warrior angel, a worshiping angel, or an archangel. And the Bible, when it reads the angel of the Lord, that's Elohim or God himself. You are talking to God. An angel will not let you worship them. They'll say, do not worship me, do not bow before me, but God will. The reason we need to know this is there are people who will actually tell me, and I had someone very recently tell me that I ask an angel to come and help me. Like, excuse me, the Bible says that God says, I will give my angels charge over you. God commands the angels, not you and I. And we're not to look to God's creation for help, but to the Creator for help. We're to look for him. If he decides to dispatch, he's the dispatcher, he's the commander. If he decides to dispatch an angel to help you, to aid you, he can do so. He's God. But you're not to look for your help. Your help comes from the Lord. So we need to understand that. And the second reason we need to understand this, and I'll say this probably till I draw my last breath, there are people, if you call on an angel, here's the risk you take. Satan will oblige you. There's another kind of angel besides a worshiping angel, an archangel, a warrior angel, and the messenger angels, and that's called the fallen angels. That's demons. So if you ask for an angel, you may get an angel, because Satan will oblige you. So don't ask angels for help. Ask the Lord for help. So in Moses' case, he sees this spirit in the burning bush, and God clearly identifies himself. And God tells him he has an assignment for him. He tells him, I've seen the suffering committed against my people, the injustice. And by the way, God is interested in injustice in our land. When you think God is turning his back on children that are being aborted or children are being abused, that's a lie from the enemy. He's not. He's interested in the suffering of humankind. And also, he said he's seen their suffering and he heard their cries too. And so that tells me the first lesson, that God sees what I'm going through, and God also hears when I call on him and when I cry out to him. Problem is, a lot of times we cry out to everybody else and call everybody else on the phone, but we don't cry out to God, but he hears our cries. Well, Moses doesn't want this assignment. God tells Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh and lead God's people out of Egypt. Now, Moses doesn't want this assignment, and so he does what we all do as human beings. He begins to make lame excuses. And God's not interested in our excuses, either yours or mine, is he? He's not interested. He's still not today interested in excuses. In fact, he saved Moses as a child for this purpose. And so he doesn't want to hear now that you don't want the assignment. A lot of times that's us, and we're going to talk about someone else tonight. And we see that Moses doesn't doubt God. The interesting thing is Moses doubts himself. In Exodus 3:11, he doesn't say, "Who are you, God?" He says, "Who am I, God?" He's doubting his own ability. He feels insignificant. He feels insecure about it. So he asks, "Who am I?" And he tells God that he's just not a good speaker. And that's an excuse, of course, but I'm going to read something real cool here in a couple minutes. And because we read in Acts, I told you in Acts 7:22, it says, Moses was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians. He was a man of power in words and deeds. So he did know how to speak. He had good speaking ability. Nice try, Moses. Nice try to get out of it. But I found something very interesting because I mentioned to you that we're all human. We all give the same excuses. I know Frida was looking for choir members recently, let me tell you, some of the best singers will say, "I just really don't know how to sing. I'm just not that good." Excuses. We use the same excuses. But when we're doing something for God, he doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called, okay? But here's another guy I found in the Bible that I thought was pretty cool that used almost the identical excuse that Moses did, the prophet Jeremiah. Let me read to you Jeremiah 1:6-9. Here's what his speech was to God. "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I don't know how to speak." Sounds familiar. Same excuse, right? Hey, you want to preach on say, "I don't know how to speak." And then he adds, "And I'm too young." But the Lord said to me, "Don't say I am too young. You must go everywhere I send you, and you must say everything I command you to say. Don't be afraid of them." Now, this is interesting because Moses said the same thing. "I don't have a good speaking ability." And Moses said he was afraid of them too. He said, "What if they don't believe me when I tell them you said that I met with you, God, and that I said this? What if they don't believe me?" How many times are we afraid of they and them? We're afraid what they might think. We're afraid of them, that group over there. That's wrong. That is wrong. We need to fear the Lord more than man, and that becomes our problem if we're afraid of they and them more than not doing what God has said. And something interesting that God said to Jeremiah, he said in verse 9 here, "Then the Lord reached out his hand, and he touched my mouth and said to me, 'I put my words in your mouth.'" So he's going to touch Jeremiah's mouth. Here's what he said to Moses in 4:12. He said, "I'll be with your mouth." And he asked, "Who created your mouth?" When it gets time to speak up, whether it's against injustice, whether it's against racism, whether it's against abortion, whatever, you know what? God will be with your mouth. He'll touch your mouth. He'll anoint your mouth. Let's call it that. Let's say that God will anoint your mouth. By the way, as radical as I am, I cannot tell you how many times I've done this. When I went into a hospital room, or when I went before I speak at a funeral, before I speak at a wedding or a quinceañera, to take the anointing oil that is in my purse right over there in the side zip pocket and anoint my mouth and pray, "God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, not to them, not to they, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." And then I'll speak. And that, so I know from this that God says, I will give you the words. And I can't tell you how many times in the middle of a quinceañera, in the middle of a funeral or something, God will just bring something to my mind. He will just bring it to me because he said, "I'll be with your mouth." That's why he does that, by the way. And so we know that we are called to set captives free. So God called Moses, and he's also called us to set captives free. And he tells Moses, "I'm going to use you, and I'm going to perform miracles through you in the presence of Pharaoh." However, he tells him, Pharaoh is very stubborn, very prideful, and he's very hard-hearted. He's not going to agree to let my people go. Now, Pharaoh represents the enemy. He represents Satan. And he doesn't want to let us go. You don't just go to him and say, "Hey, I'm going to do this or that, and please let the people go." His first response is going to be no. He wants to keep you in bondage as long as he possibly can. He wants to use you for his purposes, like Pharaoh used them for their purposes, and keep you as long as he can, the free labor and all of that, and beat you down, and they beat the people. And God tells Moses to tell Pharaoh that the people of Israel are his firstborn. You're dealing with my firstborn. That should have been a clue to Pharaoh, but not when you're stubborn and not when you're hard-hearted. And we should know by now that God is a jealous God, and he's not jealous of us for our great talent and our great abilities, that we're so wonderful, so beautiful, so awesome. He is jealous for us. He wants us for himself. And so he wants God to be our first priority because we were his first priority. You might say, well, why does God insist that I be first? Because he's the only one ever decided that he would die for you. And so he deserves the first priority. And so I want to say this. I said God's a jealous God, but now I'm going to make another statement. God is a jealous and a just God. He is a fair God. And a lot of people will tell me, and I said this last week, a lot of people will tell me that the God of the Old Testament was a very harsh God and a very, and I will give you that God did some drastic feats in the Old Testament. He went to some drastic measures to get people's attention. But I see in the Old Testament just the opposite. I see that he is a merciful God. I see that he is a kind God, a loving God, that there are shadows of the cross all through the Old Testament. And I love that because I'm an Old Testament teacher. And God tells Moses, you tell Pharaoh, if you do not let my people go to worship you, I'm going to take action against you. Now, remember, I said God is fair and just, so I want to say this. Do you know that God, being God, can do anything he wants? He's sovereign, and he was under no obligation whatsoever to warn Pharaoh about what he was going to do. God could just do what he was going to do. It's like a good, kind parent who will say, this is what's going to be the consequence if you are disobedient. They're under no obligation to say that. They can just say, okay, you did this or that. This is the consequences. So I see that God is fair and he is just. God could have just said, you know, let Pharaoh go ahead and said no, and then just started killing the firstborn just like that, because he's God and he could do that, right? But he didn't do that because that's not the nature of God. His nature is love. His nature is righteousness. He's a God of justice, but he's also a God of mercy. And God did not blindside Pharaoh. Or he wouldn't have been a just God and a righteous God, because Pharaoh could have said, listen, you did this and this to me, and I had no idea. In other words, I never heard the gospel. I never had an opportunity to do what was right. And he could have said, God, I had no idea that these people were your firstborn. I had no idea that judgment was coming like a freight train towards me, because you never said a word, God. And not only did God send Moses to tell Pharaoh to let the people of God go because they were his people, his firstborn, he also told Pharaoh that he was going to judge him. But he went a step further. And this is how merciful and how good God is. He told Pharaoh the exact consequences. I'm going to read it. By the way, I didn't really catch this until last week. Exodus 4:23 says, and I say unto you, Pharaoh, let my son go, that he may serve me. That's the nation of Israel. And if you refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay your son, your firstborn son. So Pharaoh now is completely without excuse. Now, here's what's great about that. Here's the mercy in that. This is grace, mercy, and love all in one. He warns Pharaoh. He warns him exactly what's going to happen. And this gives Pharaoh the opportunity to save his firstborn son and many of the children throughout all of Egypt. If he had cared about his people and even cared about his own family, he has an opportunity now. Did he take it? Oh, no. He's way too stubborn for that. But then it's not fair for him to come back and blame God. And it's not fair for us to blame God after God has told us of the consequences of our disobedience and what the punishment of sin would be. Thank God for the cross, that we will not suffer the punishment of sin because we've received the blood of Christ. In the middle of this chapter, we see something that I was going to skip over, but the Holy Spirit stopped me. All of a sudden, in the middle of this whole dissertation, we see something happening that is very unusual. We see that in the middle of all this, God decides to kill Moses. Whoa! He wants to use Moses. Moses is the one he's chosen. Moses is the one he protected and he preserved. And now, in the middle of it, the Bible says he seeks to kill Moses. This can be very confusing reading the Bible. However, we are covered. When we're married, we're covered. Husbands cover wives and wives cover husbands, and we work as one. And this confuses a lot of people, but his wife needs a lot of credit here, Zipporah. Her name is Zipporah. Moses has a son, and he's lived so long in Egypt that he's not doing himself in his own household the things that God has commanded to do, which one of them was circumcise your child. He did not do that, and he did not give reason for it, because this is a clear saying, I believe in God. I am obedient to the covenant. I am under the protection of God. God is the one who is my provider. And Moses knew what to do and had been disobedient. And at the time, most commentaries believe that Moses was already sick at the time and lying down when his wife, because he did not circumcise his son, his wife did it. His wife had to do it, and she did it. And after that, God, because of the blood, this is the sign of the blood covenant, after that, Moses was okay. Now, here's the thing. There's a lesson in this. This is the lesson. You cannot lead others if you yourself are disobedient. If you don't have your own household in order, and if your hearts are not circumcised, and if you're not leading your own household in obedient with God, how dare you come up and tell other people that I'm going to lead you, and you can't be an effective leader if you don't have your own life in order, and if you yourself are not obedient to God, you become a hypocrite. I have no right to tell people to do things that I myself have refused to do, whether that's honor God, read your Bible, tithe, attend church services, love your neighbor, any of it. So I love that Moses basically had a wife that called him out. And that's exactly what we need from one another. We need to hold one another accountable because there's safety. There's safety in a multitude of counsel, and there's safety in accountability. We don't often like accountability, but it helps us. It really helps us. If you can't correct someone, you can't lead them. You can't lead them. You just cannot. And if you're disobedient to God, you need to get it right before you decide to try and help others get their life right. So it is by the shedding of blood that we are healed. Moses was then healed. He was fine. I have to give some credit here to Zipporah. So the next, we see that the Lord is speaking to Aaron, tells him to go into the wilderness and meet Moses. Aaron's obedient. And then they take the elders of Israel and they go and tell them what the Lord has told Moses. And I like to say this. I like to say that there's two of them. And in some way, this kind of validates Moses that he has Aaron, because it kind of validates his character and his credibility that he's, and I think that God does call families together. I truly do. I think that that's one of the things that you should do, is minister together, whatever you've chosen for ministry for your family. And I think it's good when one confirms the word of the other. And so the people believed when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction when they bowed their heads and they worshiped God. But so they go to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I knew not the Lord. Neither will I let Israel go. I don't know God. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know him." But here's the thing. Pharaoh did know of God, but he did not want to know God. You know, he had opportunity. What he should have been saying is, "I don't know the Lord, but I would like to get to know the Lord. If this is what you're saying is going to happen, and this is what these really are God's people." But he's like, "Why should I obey him?" And that's a very foolish thing to say. I don't know God, and why should I obey him? He doesn't know God, but you know, even if you were raised with idols, you still have the opportunity, because he didn't want to know God. And I'm pretty sure as a live human being, he knew that what he was doing was wrong. You do not harm people. You do not beat people. You do not take advantage of people. He was using Israel. He was abusing them. And what he said to Moses and Aaron, he said, you guys need to just get back to work. You're idle. You're bored. You need to get back to work. All of that was lies. So then he ordered that their lives be made more miserable. He knows that's wrong. And I want to say this because we see this in life and also in our spiritual battles. Sometimes things do get worse before they get better. Would you have to at least acknowledge that in life? Sometimes things get hard because God is a just in time all the time, every time, God. He'll let us get to the point where it seems like all hell is breaking out against us, and that causes us to seek God. I know it's not pleasant, it's not comfortable, but it does put us in a position to say, Lord, I realize that now more than ever, I need to seek you. And God can answer every situation in our life. But sometimes things do get worse simply because the enemy doesn't want God's people to break free or break through. He wants us to break down, like we talked about yesterday, and to give up on God and to give up on life. But that's not an option for us. We're halfway there, people. I mean, none of you are between the ages of 12 and 18 here tonight. We're getting there. So we need to keep going. We don't need to stop, slow down, or give up, quit, all of those things. And I've seen it so many times. I'll have someone telling me that they're going through a financial situation, then a health situation, they get a bad report, a relationship's not going well. And I just keep remembering Mike Murdoch say, anytime you see unusual hardship and attacks and demonic activity, you know that that's because you're a threat to hell. That's because you're a threat to hell. It's a purposeful attack, but you are stronger than the enemy on your weakest day. Can I say that? You are stronger than the enemy and every demon in hell on your weakest day because Christ is in you. It's not in your own strength. It's in the strength of Christ. So Pharaoh caused them to even work harder, and he said, let there be more work put on these men that they may labor here, and let them not regard the vain words. He did not want them to listen to Moses. He wanted the people to think that all this talk about hearing from God and we're going to get out of here and we're going to do better and you're going to see, we're going to lead you out, all that was a joke, is what Pharaoh was saying. If they just could keep working, but God was going to show them who was in control. Pharaoh thought he was in control, but the reality is Pharaoh was completely out of control. It is God who is ultimately in control. If you've given God control of your life, he's in control. You're God's people, he's in control. No matter what situation you're going through, he is overseeing that. And so he made their lives miserable. He told them they were idle and lazy, and that was just so, so, so wrong. And, you know, but here's the thing. There was a group of people, not the taskmasters, but the overseers in Israel, that they went and tried to reason with Pharaoh. And I addressed this a little bit yesterday. Moses was different. God sent him, and he was telling him a message from God. Thus saith the Lord. You can do that. But these people went and tried to reason with Pharaoh. They said, listen, you're making our work harder. It's harder and we can't have straw and all. Let me tell you something. You cannot reason with the enemy and tell him, you just need to make my life a little easier. He's not Monty Hall. He's not let's make a deal. You cannot make a deal. You cannot dance with the devil. It's not going to work. He's going to laugh in your face. And I had a situation in my own personal life where I kept getting wicked, wicked texts at one time. And I tried to tell the person, now listen, I really care about you. I really care about you. And if you just need to stop this. You know, this just, you know, don't, I wish I could help you. They were like, come out with all barrels. Let me tell you what I'll do. I mean, it's like, okay, they don't want help. That's Pharaoh. He don't want to hear from them. He don't want help. He doesn't want you to talk to him about, could you just stop this? This really feels, I don't deserve this. Well, that's what I tried to do. You cannot. Your best defense is to talk to the Lord, not to the devil, not to Pharaoh. Talk to the Lord about it and then remain silent. Don't engage the enemy, okay? And so we need to understand that. So they went to him and they made their life worse. And the Lord told Moses, now you're going to see what I will do to Pharaoh. I'm going to take my strong hand, and with a strong hand, he's going to finally, eventually, he's going to drive you out of this land. What does that mean? Let me translate. Pharaoh is not going to let God's people go until we're going to talk about the plagues next week. But there's going to come a time when Mr. Pharaoh, all in control, all sitting on the throne, all I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show you what to do. Let me tell you what's going to happen. He's going to insist, get out, get out, get out, get out. He's going to beg them to leave. Just get out. Just go. And he's not going to care at all because God's going to remind him who's in control. And he's the God, he says to Moses, I'm the God who appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm the one who established the covenant. I'm the one who has promised you the Canaan to my people. And he tells Moses, I'm the one who will, not maybe, not might, not I could. He said, I am the one who will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will rid you of their bondage. And I will do it with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. Let me tell you something. Every time I read that verse, a stretched out arm, I cannot help but think of the cross and the arms of Jesus that are stretched out to save us, to take us out from under our bondages, to set us free. And by the way, Pharaoh and the Egyptian taskmasters represent the devil and all of the demons in hell. And so Moses was encouraged by God. He talked to the people, but the people were in agony. They didn't really want to listen to him. And so we're going to close with this as our musicians come forth, because I believe that less is more. Less is more. We'll come back next week. We're not, you know, show ain't over yet. We're coming back. We'll keep coming back till Jesus comes. And the first sign and wonder that Moses is going to perform is going to be the rod and the snake. And remember, the rod of Moses represents the cross. Every time Moses held up the rod, they would win the battle. That means every time I uphold and honor the cross in my life, I'm going to win the battles of life. When he struck the rock, the water came forth. God's going to bring water forth. I'm telling you, Jesus is the rock, and living water comes out of the rock, living water. So next week we're going to talk about the rod and the snake, and I think this is kind of cool, and this is why I think the rod and the snake sign and wonder is such a cool thing, because God instructs Moses to, what do you have in your hand? You know, Moses is like, who am I? And I'm not able to do this, and I don't have what it takes. And God goes, what's in your hand? What is it? And he said, it's a staff. The staff represents the cross. And he said, I want you to throw it down. And when he threw it down, it became a snake. And Moses ran from the snake, because that's what you do, right? You see a snake, you better run. That's what I would do. I would run from the snake. But you know what? Let me tell you the lesson there. You don't have to run from the snake. I got news for you. You don't have to run from the enemy. You know what you can do? You can do what God told Moses to do. He said, get over there to the snake and grab the snake. You grab the snake and it turns into, but with the authority that God give you with the staff, the cross overcomes the snake. Now, in comes Pharaoh, and he's like, I got some magicians here. I got some sorcerers here, and they can make snakes too. You know what? That's right. They could make snakes with sleight of hand, but let me tell you something. They can cause a problem, but you know what they can't do? They can't solve the problem. There's snakes, there's demons everywhere, but they can't solve the problem. Moses' rod ate up all those snakes. The rod, the cross, takes care of all those demons and overcomes all of that. So you don't have to do what Moses did. At first sight, he ran from the snake. But God said, you don't have to run from the snake. And that's the lesson that I took away. I was like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't have to fear the enemy. I don't have to run from you, but you need to run from me because I'm going to take you up. The Bible doesn't say when. It says if you have, you can take them by the tail. You can handle the snake. Now, we're not a snake handling church other than we will handle the enemy. But I'm telling you, if you come upon any deadly thing, it will not harm you. That includes demons. That includes anything, any medications, anything. We are covenant protected by the blood of the Lamb. And we're going to see that. We're going to see them go out from Egypt. This is one of my favorite stories. I know I said when I was teaching Joseph was my favorite. But everyone, as I'm teaching it, for that season is my favorite. For that little stretch of time, it's my favorite. Because we're going to see something so beautiful. We're going to see them apply the blood to the doorpost of their house. We're going to see them do that for their families. We're going to see them fully protected. We're going to see them walking out free. I'm telling you, it's one of the most beautiful pictures of the cross that I ever have. We're going to see the blood on the two side posts, and we're going to see the blood covering us. The blood covers us. The blood's on every side of us. But we don't see any blood on the threshold because you're never to trample the blood. You're never to take the blood lightly or walk over the blood or trample the blood. But let me tell you, this is about to get exciting. So we're going to spend some time in worship here.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.